This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The madness of this program continues in the middle of March. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 5:01 is the time. Chris, hello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. working hard today in Arizona. And don't know that we're going to catch up with Tony today. He broadcasts the Padres' victory over the Colorado Rockies a little bit earlier. 7-1 win for the Padres today. Jay Cronenworth and Trent Grisham hit home runs for the Friars. Should be a, it's been a relatively good 24 hours for the Padres. I mean, after all, Manny Machado and Juan Soto are, or at least should be, heading back to Peoria. Their Dominican Republic team was eliminated last night in the World Baseball Classic. So they'll get those guys back. But on the flip side of that, Bob Melvin not kind of biting his tongue a little bit today is the way I read it, Scraby. Team Japan using Yu Darvish for two innings in relief last night. And who knows how they'll use him in the semifinal and final game moving forward. And I think that's kind of where the Padres are like, wait a second, now we had a plan for how Yu Darvish was going to be used in this World Baseball Classic, and I don't think it was in the plan for him to be pitching in relief.
No.
And he did. Japan ended up winning the game over Italy, so Japan and Cuba have both advanced to the semifinals. The United States will take on Venezuela tomorrow, with a chance to go to the semifinals. Mexico will face Puerto Rico, although they won't have to worry about closer Edwin Diaz.
Unfortunately not.
No, Edwin Diaz is not only going to miss the rest of this tournament, but he's going to miss the entire Major League Baseball regular season after a torn patella tendon.
Yeah.
Kneecap, basically.
That sounds so painful.
Yeah, not too fun.
I mean, did you see him? He looked like he was in excruciating pain.
Couldn't have been too good right then. He got injured in the post-game celebration last night after Puerto Rico knocked out the Dominican Republic. It's easy to sit here, as the old fella in my rocking chair.
The old fella.
Sorting out, looking out over my lawn. And
sounds
saying,
nice, actually.
Well, that teaches you young whippersnappers, learn how to celebrate out there, act like you've been there before. But I really don't feel that way because I love to see celebrations. I mean, that's part of what makes sports special is guys and gals caring that much.
Yeah.
And, this was not a celebration where I thought Puerto Rico was doing anything insanely stupid.
No.
They were all just jumping up and down on the mound.
It was
like
actually kind of subdued.
Like they do in every celebration in the history of sports.
Yeah.
And somehow Edwin Diaz came down wrong on his leg, twisted his knee. I don't know, the kneecap breaks. Bam, he's out for the whole season. But I'm not going to sit here and say I don't ever want to see celebrations again. I love celebrations.
Well, I mean, people are calling for the World Baseball Classic's head.
Yeah, they want the whole tournament to be eradicated because this guy got hurt. It was a freak injury, and it's bad luck for the New York Mets, bad luck for Puerto Rico, and far be it for me to overlook the fact Francisco Lindor's wife, I feel very sorry for Edwin Diaz as well.
Thank you for saying
so
that.
So there.
No, you're right.
I care about him as a human being.
I do too.
And I feel bad that he's got a broken kneecap.
I'm not mad that the Padres won't have to face him all year, though. I'm not mad at that. And that's what she's talking about.
Well, now you sound like me.
But
now you sound
true.
Like me when I said that I was not all that unhappy that Gavin Lux was lost for the year. And I took a lot of heat for that.
You leaned into that one.
I leaned into it a little bit, but I was just trying to say what I think a lot of people think. You know, I mean,
that's funny you say that. I didn't put those together, but you're right. You're right. You did.
There can't be a Padre fan, a diehard Padre fan anywhere, who was totally upset with the news that Gavin Lux would be gone for the season, because the Dodgers. Something negative to the Dodgers is something positive for the Padres. Don't tell me the other night when you heard Freddie Freeman tweaked a hammy and went out of the
the first
game
thing
for
I said
Canada,
to you guys was.
Don't tell me your first thought as a Padre fan wasn't, oh, is he going to be out for any part of the season?
Yeah, it was. That's
of
just
that
how
was
we
a
think.
Thought you had. That's just how we do it. And not just us, every city, every fan, and every town in America.
And I know Francisco Lindor's wife mentioned the paycheck part of the argument, but I'm going to tread lightly on this one because I've never made $100 million over 5 years or signed a contract for that. But at this, I mean, that is still coming to you. And I know that it doesn't replace your injury. I know that it doesn't replace your season. And who knows how he's going to pitch going forward. But like the money part of it cannot be thrown out. It has to be considered in this whole thing. For as a fan looking at Edwin Diaz right now.
One more note on the World Baseball Classic. Mike Trout's a pretty good ball player.
Yes.
And he came through big time last night, drove in all three runs for Team USA, which had to have a victory over Colombia to advance into the knockout stage. Trout came through, three hits, three RBIs. US won 3-2. So the United States is still alive, whereas the Dominican Republic is not. And, you know, we should, you know, look, Mexico, just south of the border here.
Yeah, they're
playing
really well.
Team Mexico, they had a great pool play, knocked off the United States along the way,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be taking on Puerto Rico in the quarterfinals. So good on Mexico and good on Team USA there. That's the baseball stuff for today. Now on to the NCAA tournament. First, let's catch you up on some of the current scores. There are four games going on right now. They had just got underway in the second half. Number 9 seed Auburn leading number 8 seed Iowa 36-29 in favor of Auburn. Fran McCaffrey has not been staring at any officials, at least not yet. They're at halftime. Number 5 Duke leads number 12 seed Oral Roberts big 40-23. Duke scored the first 13 points of this game. It took Oral Roberts 8.5 minutes to get on the scoreboard.
My bracket's going to be busted, Chris.
Mine,
by
yeah.
the time we leave the studio, it could be busted.
Yeah, once I give the rest of these scores, a lot of people's brackets are going to be busted. Boise State out of the Mountain West taking on Northwestern. 5 minutes to play in the first half. Northwestern 29, Boise State 22. Of course, the Mountain West Conference has not been successful in the NCAA tournament. It wouldn't kill Boise State to help us out there. One other game, just about midway through the first half now, the second seed Texas leading number 15 Colgate 18-12. Earlier today, the Aztecs got 17 points from Matt Bradley, got just enough done defensively to hold off College of Charleston. Final score, San Diego State 63. Charleston 57. The vaunted Aztecs defense came to play and held Charleston's three-point shooting game to 5-24. And that was really one of the big differences of the game. Aztecs out-rebounded them +6 and overcame 8 early turnovers and an early 7-point deficit to lead by 3 at halftime. And pretty much lead throughout the second half, although it got very, very razor tight there down the stretch. In fact, Charleston tied the game at 53.
Yes, they did.
Before the Aztecs outscored them 10-4 to win the ball game. Micah Parrish made 2 free throws with hardly any time left to not only seal the game, but put the Aztecs over the spread. They were favored by 5. They end up winning by 6. Elsewhere, earlier today, stunning development, and this was the second seed Arizona, many people's pick to win the entire thing. They're not even going to the second round. 15 seed Princeton ousted Arizona 59-55. Arizona led by 10 with 8 minutes to play, and you know, I'm not going to use the choke word. I shouldn't even have said it there because these are college kids. But if you watched it, you could tell that Arizona just got tight. They could not make a shot. They were pulling the string on all their shots. Princeton kept closing the gap. And as the noose got tighter, Arizona got more nervous. And eventually it all slipped away from the Wildcats. They had a couple of chances to tie with a late three, but Corey Ramey, who's one of the one of the best shooters I've seen in college basketball this year, shot an air ball that would have tied it. Krisha Kerr got a look from three to tie, and he also barely hit the side of the rim. I mean, by that time, Arizona's guts were completely shot, and Princeton pulled off the upset. There was one other big upset this morning. 13-seeded Furman stole a ball with about 6 seconds to play, made a pass into the front court where a three-pointer was knocked in with 2.2 left to shock Virginia.
That is crazy.
68-67, and that could turn out to be good news for the Aztecs because I said could be. There's no guarantees. They still got to go play another game, but now the Aztecs will face Furman rather than potentially facing Virginia in the second round.
I feel comfortable knowing that an Aztec can beat a Paladin. So,
all right, what does that have to do with anything?
It just makes me feel good about the matchup.
Could an Aztec have beaten a Cavalier?
I'm not really quite sure what a Cavalier is, but I'm sure the Aztecs were a pretty violent culture.
Yeah.
So I think they could do their thing.
Is that how you pick these games based on what?
It would have been better than my bracket now.
Yeah.
Like there's so many red lines in my bracket. It's disgusting.
All right. A couple of other finals from earlier today. Top seed Alabama got, you know how many points from Brandon Miller today?
Zero.
Controversial star of Alabama scored zero.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. Alabama beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi 96-75. Another top seed won easily. Kansas blew out Howard 96-68. Kansas did that without head coach Bill Self, who continues to rehabilitate from having two stents placed in his chest and an operation last week. All the best to the Kansas head coach. I doubt we'll see him on the sidelines for we didn't see him today. I don't think we'll see him in the second round this weekend either. Kansas will face Arkansas next, which beat Illinois 73-63. Alabama will be taking on Maryland next. Maryland beat West Virginia in a very good game. First game of the tournament, tight all the way, 67-65. And let's see, I think there's one other final to give you from this morning's games. The 7-10 matchup, Missouri beat Utah State out of the Mountain West, 76-65. At the time, that extended the Mountain West Conference losing streak to 11 games in tournament play, a streak covering 4 years, and it was finally broken by the Aztecs' win over the College of Charleston. So that's the madness that is March so far.
I'm looking up all for our Gwen and Chris bracket that we put together. First off, thanks to everyone who signed up. We put together a bracket in like the last minute, and it was 129 signups. So if you win this thing, you definitely get some bragging rights because 129 entrants is not. It is pretty good, actually. I usually play in like 10, 15, 20 people brackets. But right now, we have two players at the top. Carl Sr. has 7 points. Max has 7 points. Chris, you're actually in third right now.
I'm 6-2, but I'm already eliminated because the team I picked to win it all is Arizona.
That's not necessarily true.
And they're obviously not going to win it all. Well, you get a ton of points for picking the winner at the very end. So.
Both you and I are going to lose a lot of points as Arizona moves on, as the rounds move on, because they're not going to move on.
Yeah.
And Princeton, I kind of am ticked off that Princeton won because it's just not a better game. It's not good for the NCAA tournament. I want Arizona to be a part of it. I want to see a great game. I don't want to see Princeton. I don't know where that came from, Chris.
No kidding, man.
I don't know where that came from.
What do you have against smart people from New Jersey?
Nothing. Nothing.
Sounds like you have quite a bit of vent-up frustration.
Well, it's probably because Arizona was my Final Four.
The Ivy League.
So.
Well, your Final Four is probably all going to get knocked out before they get to the Final Four. It just didn't want it to happen so soon, Scraby. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for everybody, the rest of us who all picked Arizona. You know who else picked Arizona?
Who?
Not alone. The all-knowing, all-powerful Jay Billis picked Arizona to win the national championship.
Whoa, he picked it to win it all.
Yes, he did. So, see, I'm not alone.
See, if Jay Billis can't predict it, then we can't predict it.
Who can?
No one.
All right. So, get over it and enjoy the tournament.
I just hate that my perfect bracket was ended after the first game. I didn't even have one game to be like, oh, I'm undefeated. Just
you really thought you had a shot at it.
Not at a perfect bracket.
Considering
but
nobody's
least,
ever had one.
At least in the first round, maybe.
I remember, who was it? Not Bill Gates. Warren Buffett. You know, the really rich investor?
Yes,
Warren
Buffett. Yes.
He once offered like $1 billion to anybody who had a perfect bracket. And I thought, well, that's nice, but I could offer $1 billion to anybody to have a perfect bracket because no one's going to have one.
What if they do? That one person, that one time.
Good luck getting $1 billion out of me.
You know who President Obama picked? Former President Obama? He picked Duke to win it all, which I think is an interesting pick.
They're looking pretty good, at least so far today. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back. Much more Gwen and Chris on the way. Sean Paul from the Mountain West Wire joined us earlier to talk about and break down the Aztecs' victory. We'll have that interview coming up for you shortly as we return with more after a check of traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
What did you think of your offense, especially like maybe the fifth inning? I mean, it just seemed like today things were coming together.
Yeah, some guys that have had some at-bats too, but you know, it's just nice to get more and more of what looks like the San Diego Padres out there. And I think that inspires guys, too. You know, less than 2 weeks now, we're getting everybody back. You know, there's kind of a finish line to this right now, and you'd expect the at-bats to be better. So, you know, especially at the top there, we had some really good ones today.
Trent's barreled some baseballs. I mean, is his swing seems a little more fluid, like kind of was in the postseason last week.
Yeah, you look, I mean, anytime you're more aggressive, you're going to get more aggressive swings. And I think at times last year, he may be a little too passive. Part of his game is walking, getting on base, but he's got power to hit some home runs too. So trying to find a middle ground with that.
That was Bob Melvin after the Padres win today at Talking Stick over the Colorado Rockies 7-1. Now, he's talking about his offense right there, Chris. Top performers in today's game. Jake Cronenworth, 3-for-4 with a home run and RBI. Ha-Seong Kim, 3-for-3 with a double and an RBI. Trent Grisham, 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk and an RBI. Those are things that are going to win the Padres lots of games if those guys can do that.
Fernando Tatis Jr., 0-for-2 with an RBI today.
I didn't want to say
wondering about Fernando, but... Well, yeah. I mean, he had 16 hits today, so they lit up a bad team. I mean, we already know the Rockies have basically nothing. Austin Gomber started for the Rockies. I don't know that he'll make the opening day rotation. They got 7 hits off him. They got 4 runs off some reliever named Seabold, who's not on the Rockies roster. So, you know, that's why I said earlier, you have to take everything with a grain of salt in spring training. I know guys went 3-for-3, and that's great, and Jake Cronenworth's hitting 419. I'd love to see him hit 419 at the end of April. But, you know, it's a good sign. He's swinging the bat well. He'll feel good going into the regular season. But he's also not going to be facing Gomber and Seabold.
Well, Gomber is – he's had good success against the Padres in the past.
He won't be having much success against them this year. I don't think he's going to make their starting rotation.
All right.
Anyway, look, it all depends on, you know, who you're facing. The good news is Machado and Soto are headed back. And, you know, the negative side is that Darvish still has a couple of games to go with Japan, Team Japan. And who knows how they're going to use him. And, you know, hopefully he'll come back to the Padres in a situation where he's ready to start on opening day. If not, Padres will have to make some alterations. That's just as simple as that. And Bob Melvin said as much earlier today, but sure, nice win today. They're 9-10. So, you know, I mean, you know, look at that. You're going to say, well, that's not going to get it done.
But it's just the Cactus League.
All right. It's just the Cactus League and 9-10. It's also just the Cactus League when you're hitting 419.
I get it.
You can't have it both ways. Ha-Seong Kim's hitting 545 right now in Cactus League play.
Oh, I didn't know it was 545. That's really good.
That's really good. Yeah. That doesn't mean he's going to hit 545 once the season starts.
I hear you, Chris. I get what you're saying.
He's going to hit 545.
I get what you're saying, but it's for my brain, it's good to see these things happening in spring training.
I'm glad you're happy.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's Discount Furniture, home of the world-famous Bob-O-Pedic mattresses. With all the comfort and quality of a national mattress brand for half the price, no matter your budget, there is a Bob-O-Pedic memory foam hybrid or hybrid plus mattress for you. Check them out at mybobs.com. Matt Scraby, Chris Ello here, 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr., he is in communication with us, but it seems like the traffic is very bad in Arizona, so... We'll see if we can squeeze him on by the end of the show. Not sure that's going to happen, but he will be with us tomorrow. So we will get his thoughts on the Aztecs and the Padres and all that stuff tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be on tomorrow right at 2 o'clock. Padres have a night game tomorrow.
Yep.
So we can talk about many things with Tony at that time. There's one note from the NBA today that I think is interesting. Apparently Michael Jordan is engaged in serious talks to sell a majority stake in the team he owns, the Charlotte Hornets. So Jordan is, you know, as great as Michael Jordan was as a player, hasn't been the same as an owner.
No.
Hasn't been as easy for MJ as an owner. 6-time champion, 5-time MVP. Seems like he should have been MVP like 11 times, but they, you know, there was many years he didn't win it.
It's amazing to me when these guys go from being great Hall of Fame generational players to the running the team side of things, and they just can't get it done.
It's a different deal. Well, he's not playing, and I don't think he's...
He has a good basketball brain.
He does, but, you know, he's got to be able to help. You know, he's got to have his general manager identify good talent.
Yeah.
Got to have his coach him up. I mean, you're quite a ways away from it as the owner, unless you're Jerry Jones.
But when you're in the huddle during practice?
Yeah, when you're actually throwing the football out there to the likes of Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. I just, you know, look, Jordan wasn't a great, and very few great players become great coaches. Front office execs. Larry Bird is one of the rare ones who did a great job. Magic Johnson struggled in that role with the Lakers.
He did.
Ran into all kinds of issues. I mean, great players, they don't think like the rest of the people. They have a different way of thinking. It's what helps place them on a different level as players and athletes, but it doesn't always serve them well in an ownership situation.
I wonder what that makes Michael Jordan feel like, that he can't get it done as an owner.
I don't know. He could probably wave his six rings in your hand, in your face, and go, "Yeah, it's not that big of a deal."
But for a guy like him, that we know he's incredibly competitive,
he is competitive. Yeah.
It's gotta irk him a little bit that he's not as good as he wants to be.
Maybe that's why he's getting out of it.
Could be.
Maybe that's why he's going to sell him. Some NFL notes for you: the Philadelphia Eagles, when we left the show yesterday, were about ready to part with star cornerback Darius Slay. Everything's changed around overnight. Darius Slay agreed to a $42 million contract extension today. He's going to get $23 million guaranteed. So that's what kind of key player Slay is coming back to the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, they're going to need a backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew.
Oh, where'd he go?
He's off to the Indianapolis Colts. He could actually be a starter there. I don't know who the Colts have. They have the fourth overall pick in the draft.
They also have Sam Ellinger, who they just drafted.
Yes, Sam Ellinger didn't get a whole lot done in his first go-around with the Colts. But anyway, Minshew agrees to a deal with the Colts today. There was one other couple of quick notes here. The Chicago Bears keep trying to firm up their ball club. Remember, they lost David Montgomery, the running back, to the Lions. Today, they added running back Donta Foreman to
a one-year contract.
Former Carolina Panther running back. They also took Green Bay Packers tight end Robert Tonyan away and bring him into the fold in Chicago.
Sorry, Packers fans. Your team is going to look a lot different next year.
Packers seem like they're being disarmed right and
really,
left.
Really, I know.
Not going to make it easy on Jordan Love. It's going to already be hard on Jordan Love, you know, coming in as a new quarterback. And, you know, we'll have to see how he does, what kind of weapons he has there to use in Green Bay. All right, that gets you caught up pretty much on everything. NCAA tournament, we've been talking about it all day. The Aztecs advanced. Arizona did not. When we return, we'll talk about the Aztecs' victory with Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire. Stick around for more Gwen and Chris. All right, back on the program. Final segment here, Gwen and Chris, 5:37 the time. Chris Ellis, Matt Scraby today in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. working his way through Arizona today in a Padre victory over the Colorado Rockies, 7-1. Catch up with Tony tomorrow, sharp at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us for the heading into the weekend program. We'll have more reaction to the Aztec victory. Coming up shortly here with Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire, Aztecs hold off College of Charleston today, 63-57, first NCAA tournament victory under Coach Brian Dutcher. And a real chance to get to the Sweet 16 now. The Aztecs will draw 13-seeded Furman in the second round. Furman, in a stunning reversal at the end of the game, intercepted a pass and then knocked in a three-point shot with 2 seconds to go to beat Virginia. 68-67, that was not the most stunning development of the day. That was Princeton, the 15-seed, taking out second-seed Arizona, 59-55. And making me do this to my bracket once again.
Mine's not too far behind you, Chris.
Yeah, I know. We're all in the same boat there. Some games are in progress right now. Mountain West team Boise State trails by 6 at halftime. 38-32 to Northwestern. And then we've got a couple of games in the second half. Auburn holding off Iowa 64-56, about 6.5 minutes to play. Number 5, Duke, has been dominating Oral Roberts throughout and continuing to do so, 54-32.
Oh, gosh.
11 minutes to go there. And right at the end of the first half now, Texas leads Colgate 41-32. They're 4 games later tonight. Houston will take on Northern Kentucky. UCLA will take on North Carolina Asheville. Louisiana will meet Tennessee and Penn State, Texas A&M. Those are the 4 games later tonight. So anyway, thanks to everybody, the 120-plus of you who got into our college basketball bracket. Like I said, going into it, you should all do better than we do. And
where's
I think
Tony
you have a good
at?
Chance to
I
do
need
it.
To find where he is in the standings, because I have not seen him yet in the standings.
All right. Well, so we can go through and try to find out.
Well, we have 129 of them.
Is he 129th?
He's not on the first page that I see.
All right. Well,
I'm going to have to look for this.
Well, you'll find it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's check some traffic and then get to our visit with Sean Paul so we can find out a little bit more what he thought of the Aztecs' win today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sean Paul from the Mountain West Wire. Sean, how are you today? Enjoying the games?
It's been a great day so far. I mean, I didn't see Princeton knocking off Arizona in the 15-2 game over there, so it's been a pretty entertaining day of basketball, and hopefully it only continues in the next couple days and weeks.
Yeah, this is pretty much becoming routine now in the NCAA tournament. I think it's the third year in a row that a 15 seed has knocked off a 2 seed, and of course last year St. Peter's 15 seed made it all the way to the Elite Eight, so anything is possible come this time of year. The one thing that didn't seem possible, Sean, was the Mountain West Conference winning a game in March Madness. I mean, Nevada really got outclassed last night. I mean, they just didn't bring it at all against Arizona State. Utah State, I thought played, you know, hard, played with some heart today, but they couldn't knock in a three-point shot, and they eventually fell short against Missouri. So San Diego State was able to get a win finally, but it's been since 2018 since the conference had an NCAA tournament win. So a deep exhale from the Mountain West there.
I mean, you had to hope that San Diego State was going to get it done, especially after that pretty rocky start against Charleston. Charleston's a really good team in their own right, 31 wins for a reason. But San Diego State got it going, and Matt Bradley made some big shots, and he was really important for them in this game. They're going to need him in the next round against Furman, because Furman's a really good team, as we saw today. They beat Virginia.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting game. I think San Diego State has all the tools to make a run in the NCAA tournament, though. But speaking of Utah State, the other Mountain West team, I'm not sure this game could have went worse for them. I mean, they went 4-for-24 from three, and that's what they're good at. That's the reason they were in the NCAA tournament to begin with. That's why they won 26 games. They can really shoot the basketball, and they just cannot buy a three-point bucket all night, and Missouri was able to take advantage of them inside. So it was a pretty rough game for Utah State, but now you have Boise State playing Northwestern here in a little bit. Hopefully the Mountain West is able to get another win there, but if not, you have San Diego State to carry the load for the conference.
Carry the torch, as it were, for sure, yeah.
Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I'm curious to get your take on Princeton and Arizona and why 15 seeds and 16 seeds, not as often with the 16 seed, but 15 seeds, why are they able to keep up with these great teams that everybody picks to win the entire thing and then eventually beat them in the first round? What do you think about that?
I honestly don't know if there's an exact science to it. Really just anything can happen on any given night. You know, it's college basketball. You see these kind of upsets during the regular season, too, in the non-conference slate, but they're not talked about as much because you have college football and all that other stuff going on during the non-conference slate of college basketball. But these things happen regularly. So it's not all that surprising. I didn't see Princeton winning this one. They had some size to compete with Arizona, with Umar Ballo and Azulis Tubelis being their two big guys, Arizona that is. And you have Tosan Iwoma, who's really good for Princeton. He's 6'8", and Keyshawn Kelman is 6'9". But Princeton is really a high-volume three-point shooting team, and if they are making threes, they're probably not going to win a ton of games. And they couldn't buy a three today, and they end up winning the game on the defensive end because Arizona could not score in the final 8 minutes. So that's not exactly how I saw this game panning out. Even if Princeton were to win, I would have assumed that they shot the lights out of the building, but they didn't do that. They played elite defense, and that led them to a 15-2 victory. So I think just any given night, you know, anything can happen in college basketball. You get a team on a bad night, and you can go win a basketball game. So I think there's no exact science to it. It's just basketball is going to be basketball.
I think you're right, Sean. I mean, you look at this, especially nowadays. I mean, it used to be where the power conferences got all the top players, and they developed those players, and they stayed for 3 or 4 years, and these teams became almost unbeatable. You know, the Dukes and the Carolinas and the rest of them. But now, I mean, with the transfer rule, you got a lot of good players moving around the country, changing teams. And guys that, you know, are sixth men somewhere at a power conference want to start and play every night 40 minutes at a less than power conference school. And, you know, we've said it all year. There isn't a dominant team in college basketball. This tournament is wide open. And I think, you know, that's what's given everybody a little more hope, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at a guy on a 15 seed, it's Drew Pember from UNC Asheville. He couldn't get off the bench at Tennessee. He goes and wins the Big South Player of the Year, averaging 20 points per game. And now he's a star player for a team that made the NCAA tournament. They're playing a shorthanded UCLA team tonight. So they're a pretty good example. He's a pretty good example of what can happen when you're a high major player that's just not getting those minutes and he wants to prove himself at a lower level. He goes there, gets them the tournament. They could very well beat UCLA tonight if a few things click right. If they're able to hit some three-point shots, if he's able to get going, if they're able to stop Jaime Hawkins, that's a lot of keys. But if you can see Asheville is able to knock a few of those keys down, then I think they're capable of winning that game. Again, it's a long shot, but the pieces are there for UNC Asheville to at least compete in that game. I don't think we see 2 15-2 upsets in one day, but anything's possible. But you're definitely right. The transfer portals help mid-major schools get a lot better and more competitive.
San Diego State, of course, got their win over College of Charleston. Let's get back to the Aztecs for a second. Sean Paul is with us from the Mountain West Wire. And obviously you mentioned that Bradley was really the go-to guy today. And, you know, this has been a little different Aztec team this year than a year ago when Bradley was kind of what they had to rely on. That was the story today. None of his teammates really stepped up with big games. Mm-hmm. Is San Diego State going to have some guys come through on Saturday if they're going to make it to the Sweet 16?
100%. If they have an offensive performance like they did today, I don't think they're beating Furman because Furman has so many different weapons. Yeah, Mike Bothwell, who's their leading scorer, he fouled out with about 7 minutes left today against Virginia, and they were still able to knock down a 7-point deficit in that same time span to win the game. Jalen Flosser, the Conference Player of the Year, he's a really versatile player, and I think he could take advantage of San Diego State a little bit on both ends of the floor. And then you have a few guys off the bench like Alex Williams, who's a versatile forward, Ben Vanderwall, and then Garrett Keene, who made some really big plays today, and of course J.P. Pegues, who was the game winner. That's just six or seven guys right there that are very important pieces for Furman. And all of those guys can score the basketball. So I think Furman's very capable of winning this game. And San Diego State and San Diego State fans should not take them lightly because they are really good. But the Aztecs have to score the basketball a little better to win that game.
Talking to Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And with the Aztecs win, Brian Dutcher gets his first tournament win of his career. And he didn't win the Coach of the Year for the Mountain West, but Brian Dutcher is a guy who's been in the tournament so many times before. Are you kind of surprised it took him so long to get to this point that he got his first win?
Yeah, definitely a little surprised. But at the same time, if you think about it, they definitely would have won at least one game in the NCAA tournament the COVID year. So it feels like there should be a little bit of an asterisk there. But you never know what can happen in college basketball, as we saw today with Arizona losing. But he's been so consistent. He's gotten there time and time again. It feels a little wrong for this to be his first NCAA tournament win, but it's good for him to finally get that because I think he's one of the more underrated coaches in the country. Because all he does is win. He just brings San Diego State to the tournament every single season. They're at the top of the Mountain West every single season. He's done a terrific job, and I think he deserves a lot more credit than he gets nationally.
Sean, what are you hearing about the Mountain West moving forward as a conference? Is this, I mean, and we're talking about the, you know, the movement of all of these teams. Is it possible that, is the Mountain West, I guess what I should ask is the Mountain West putting in any backup plans for the, you know, the very real possibility they could lose a San Diego State or some other teams moving out of this conference? I mean, what is the conference saying about all of that?
I'm not for sure what would go on in that situation. Obviously, it seems like there's some interest between the Pac-12 and San Diego State. Obviously, the Pac-12 is losing the Southern California schools here in a couple of years, so they're going to need to add some reinforcements, and San Diego State is definitely atop that list. But the Mountain West has to look in other directions. Maybe you go to a Big Sky school, something like that, to add, like in Eastern Washington. They do have a football program that's pretty good. They have a Montana State, some schools like that. I don't know if those are schools that the Mountain West is really looking into. But if you're hoping to add some schools from smaller current conferences, I think you need to look in that direction. Look at those two programs that have been pretty consistent winning programs in both sports, even though the football is at the FCS level. I think you need to look at programs that have had winning success in both football and basketball to be able to move up to the Mountain West. But they definitely need to have some contingency plans in place in case San Diego State does leave. Because that's the number one brand in your conference right now, and you're already losing Boise State. So you got to figure out something here fast.
Yeah, we do, or they do, not me. I'm not part of that decision at all. We're talking to Sean Paul.
You're not making the decision?
I'm not. I wish I could.
We don't let him make any decisions, Sean.
No.
Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. But branching off of that a little bit, I know that the Mountain West was a pretty good conference this year over some of the major level conferences like the ACC. Is there any way you think that the Mountain West can just continue to get stronger and maybe get better as a conference and maybe become a conference that people respect?
I mean, nobody's going to respect the Mountain West entirely until a team makes a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I think that's really the only way. Because the Pac-12 was constantly hated on until a couple years ago when they had those four teams in the Sweet 16 or whatever it was. You had Oregon State making the Elite Eight. You had USC, Oregon winning games. You had UCLA in the Final Four. Obviously, that was a little different year with COVID going on and everything, but they've got all those teams deep in the tournament, and then people started to change their tune about the Pac-12. So if San Diego State can make a run in the tournament, I think that'll change the way people think about the Mountain West a little bit, because they can see it's possible for a team in this conference to make a run in the NCAA tournament.
And one last thing, Sean, how has San Diego State gotten to the level that it's gotten? You talked about them being the marquee team in this conference, probably the marquee, you know, university when you put football in there with basketball. And, you know, I mean, how has Brian Dutcher been able to do it following in the footsteps of Fisher? How has the football team been able to do it? Because, unfortunately, they haven't been able to take a lot of teams along with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing is when you're in a good area, like San Diego kind of recruits itself, I feel like. You have to recruit a little bit, the university and the program, but when you can live in San Diego as opposed to some of the other options in the Mountain West, I think you'll take that pretty easily. So I think that's a big aspect to it. And from the athletics part of it, from the basketball part of it at least, I think the culture that Brian Dutcher has kind of established is one of the bigger reasons. Like, his guys are going to play hard no matter what. Even if they're having an off shooting night like they had today, they're going to play hard. And you know that's what you're getting from San Diego State. You have to get buy-in from players, but it seems like every single guy he's brought in buys into that. The transfers, Darion Trammell, Micah Parrish, Matt Bradley, all those guys have bought into playing really hard on the defensive end, and it shows in a win like today.
Well, Sean, we appreciate your expertise.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Appreciate you joining the program. Good stuff. Enjoy the rest of March Madness, and hopefully the Aztecs will keep the Mountain West flag alive for a while longer. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Good having you on, as always. Good job. Sean Paul right there from the Mountain West Wire on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. All right, that's going to pretty much wrap things up for us on a wild first day of March Madness. A couple of games coming down to the end here. Auburn leading Iowa 70-62. Still 3:20 to play in that game. Remember, Iowa was down something like 15 points to Michigan State this year, like a minute to go in the game, and ended up winning in overtime. So I guess you can never totally count Iowa out. But they're down 8 here with 3:05 left. Auburn in front. Northwestern holding on against Boise State, 48-42. They're 5 minutes into the second half. Boise State trying to make a run at that one and give the Mountain West Conference another team in the second round. Duke is, I mean, when you start ahead 13-0 in the first 8.5 minutes, there was never a shot for Oral Roberts
Why
tonight.
Did I pick them to go to the
Why?
Elite Eight?
Did I pick them?
Why?
I will say that when you make an upset pick, not you but anybody,
it's the best thing in the world.
And then, but when the game starts and your team just gets eliminated like 3 minutes into the game,
I should have known that.
You're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, seriously.
Duke is crushing and has been crushing Oral Roberts the entire game, 70-45. Just a couple of minutes to play. Texas leads Colgate 41-32 at halftime. So
the toothpastes are sticking in there.
Toothpastes are trying to hang in. They're squeezing. They're getting squeezed by Texas so far in the first half. There are 4 more games later tonight, including UCLA's tournament debut against North Carolina Asheville. We'll be back tomorrow at 2:00. There'll be more March Madness rolling along with that time. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be on the show tomorrow as well. So we look forward to seeing you at that point, 2:00 tomorrow for Scraby, for Tony. I'm Chris Ello. Thank you, Aztecs, for making it possible for me to get through this show. It would not have been easy without
you. Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
What it have been like?
I thought about it all the way driving down, Mike.
Had the game turned out differently.
Yeah, I was like, okay, get ready for depression.
It was hard enough, even though they won, to get through this show today. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.